take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Time to ask yourself what you believe.
Mass murder, torture, perjury, embezzlement, fraud, deception, treason. These are just a few of your many crimes against humanity. You will not win this war, for you are fighting the very essence of humanity.
Welcome to Truth or Talk. I'm April Bowden.
And I'm Christine Henry.
Please visit our website at www.truthortees.com and go to our store, if you would please, at shop.truthortees.com, where you can find our newest t-shirt, The Conspiracy Realist, inspired by investigative journalist Liam Sheff. We also have Liam's book available for purchase, The Official Stories, or you can get it for free if you buy three or more t-shirts. So how great of a deal is that? Please take advantage of that because we only have a few books, and we want you to get those while supplies last. So, hey, Christine, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. We've been out of commission for a little while. I've been having some computer problems, and you were off working. Doing a summer camp?
Oh my god, I loved it. It was awesome. My my students, we had a drama competition at the end of the summer camp, and they took first, second, and third place.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I know, it was great. I was really proud of them.
Oh, how cute. Yeah, I haven't seen those videos yet.
Yeah, I posted them on my Facebook. It did a lot for the self-esteem, especially, you know, when you're learning a language, if you're especially if you're intelligent in your native language, but you're trying to speak another language and you're not as proficient, it can kind of like dampen your self esteem. But yeah. I think they were really happy. It just made me happy seeing them happy. And they were so creative that they actually blew my mind, you know, I basically, you know, let them pick. We had about maybe 4 hours to come up with little skits under 5 minutes from scratch, and I just let them basically gave them kind of some ideas, but they created the storyline and they did the props, and I just kind of guided them, but they did like most of the work. I was really proud of them.
Yeah. And so for those of you guys who haven't listened to our previous shows, Christine is living in Taiwan. She went over there to do some teaching, and what she's talking about is a summer camp that she was doing last week, so she was really busy doing that. And so the kids were in high school age.
Actually, they were like college. It was a college, but they're like freshmen.
Oh,
yeah,
okay,
like so freshmen in college. So
like 18, 19 years old.
Yeah,
oh,
those are little babies.
Yeah, little babies to us.
Yeah, I know.
So.
But they're like so funny. But yeah, I had a great time. I wish I had more time with them. You know.
Yeah,
I wish I had more time because, you know, here the schools are very strict, and they basically, their method is just have the kids memorize and repeat. They don't really get to be creative or think for themselves or critically think, which is kind of, I don't look down on the country for doing it, but I think it's a bit disturbing, especially because of the line of work that we're in, you know, talking about a lot of the issues that are going on with the world today. Whereas, you know, when something new is introduced, especially from America or British, right, or Britain, you know, they just accept it. They don't question it. And they don't critically think about things. They don't ask questions. And a lot of the stuff I feel is like damaging. Could be, you know, it is damaging their culture, or it will damage their culture in the long run. You know, for example, they're, you know, they've given up a lot of their culture as far as like medicine. So like I thought when I get here, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get acupuncture like every week and, you know, like and get herbs and stuff and like that. But they've graduated to modern medicine. And, you know, they have hospitals. And when I first got here, I was asking about acupuncture, and people would, like, laugh in my face. They're like, oh, that's silly. That's just, like, witch doctor stuff. And I'm like, No, you know, but they're getting vaccines, and yet, you know, I went go to an art show maybe a couple months ago, and I run into this lady. Her clients are autistic, and they have they're amazing artists, and then she's telling me like how autism is on the rise here, and you know, but they're like, we don't know why. I'm like, well. You know,
you guys are all vaccinated.
Yeah,
stuff like vaccinations on the rise. They're
yeah,
like,
exactly. They don't see the correlation or the correlation between obesity and all the fast food restaurants that they have here and diabetes, and that's on the rise too. You know? And I had little kids my first year. I had children that literally were thin, and by the end of the semester, they were like starting to gain a lot of weight, and I can tell. You know, by seeing the food that they would eat, like, all the time. Like,
right.
Just junk food. And it's interesting because I think that a lot of these countries that aren't, like, in the Western world, I think that they're becoming modernized like the Western world, but actually I feel like they're regressing in a lot of ways, you know. Like, technologically, yeah, they're becoming more advanced, but they're giving up their health. They're giving up their soul. They're giving up... you know, their humanity. They're not thinking critically. They're not questioning things. A lot of these kids, I was very fortunate the first year to have children that were very creative and imaginative. But by the time, you know, they were about seven, but by the time they're like in high school, that stuff is just kind of like sucked out of them, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I even had a parent who approached me because she wanted me to tutor her child, and she was just like, you know, this really bothers me. I want my child to be more well-rounded, and I don't want her to... She used the words to be a test-taking machine, and I thought... And her English was pretty good, but I can tell that she wasn't really fluid or comfortable, but I just thought those were the perfect words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really shocked.
She was like, yeah, I don't want her to be a test-taking machine. Because a lot of children, too, the thing here... A lot of people spend, like, probably, I don't know, thousands of dollars on sending their children to English school. Some from the time they're five up until the time they're, about ready to go to college. And, you know, they can read it and they can write it, but they cannot speak, you know. Mm. And I think a lot of it, huh?
So, like she said, test-taking machine.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
do it on paper, but not in reality.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And yeah. I think there's a nonverbal element too that's related to language, where you have to go out and practice it. There's emotion memory, you know, like emotion memory. They say if you have an emotion attached to the thing that you're learning, if you're passionate about something, you're going to learn it better, faster. You're not going to forget it, you know.
Right.
And if you don't really have that, it's really hard for you to internalize it and function in the language. So, but yeah, I guess just going back to like the whole critical thinking thing, it kind of like bothers me, because when I first got here, there was no, all the toothpaste had fluoride. So I was like, darn, I have to. So I went online and I found out how to make my own toothpaste. And I was telling somebody that I made my own toothpaste, and they were like amazed. They're like, oh my God. I was like,
Yeah,
really
not
that,
here.
Yeah, it's not that weird, or it's not that hard.
And they were like,
right.
Well, why would you want to do that? And I was like, because of fluoride. And then I was trying to tell her about fluoride, and she was like, oh, well, why would anybody want to put fluoride in the water or fluoride in the toothpaste? And, you know, why would, you know, people here are very, good thing about here, people are very trusting and very friendly. So they're just not in the mindset that people are just, there's some people that are just up to no good. You know, they're very trusting of their government. They're very trusting of people that come here and want to introduce them to new things, but they don't question necessarily what these people are getting out of introducing them to these new things, you know?
Right. So you think that it's – because you have some of the similar experiences teaching in America too, right? I mean, but with the indoctrination and just making kids test takers, but you think that it's worse over there?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
In the sense of supposedly, from what I know, there's no fluoride in the water, from what I've been told. And there are no chemtrails here. Mm. you know.
Right.
But they're GMOs, but people don't know how bad GMOs are, you know. They're like, oh, maybe it's not that good, but they don't know, like, how bad it is, you know. Like,
right, right.
I have a student that's a surgeon, and I was telling him about it because there was a they had a lesson talking about GMOs that really didn't give them a choice as to how bad it was, you know. It's just like basically some people think that they're bad and some people think that they're not bad. What do you think? But they didn't really give them reasons as to why people thought they were bad, you know. And I was telling him, you know, that maybe you should do more research on it. And I was telling him a little bit about Monsanto, and he was just like, I just thought he thought I was full of spit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, he's not arrogant. He's a really, like, down-to-earth guy, but I guess he was just like, oh, come on. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like
if, yeah, yeah.
Dramatic. That's what it was. You know, he's like, oh, you know, oh, they're not that bad, you know? And I'm like, he's just,
yeah.
Like, wouldn't you, like, be reading up on health? And I don't know. Like, I just feel like here, you know, I only have maybe one friend that's awake, and she moved to New Zealand because she feels like she couldn't even. She just got a scholarship and moved to New Zealand. She just felt like she couldn't really relate to anybody here. But the thing is, she's awake because she lived in England for a few years.
Mm.
She got off of the island. I think people that get off of the island and they actually live or they have to function somewhere in the Western world, they understand it more, and then they can come back and see what's going on with their country. But
right.
A lot of people, most people here don't travel. They're like in adults, and they've never even been outside of Taiwan. And my friend was telling me, he's older. He's been here like almost 20 years, so he's in his, I don't know how old he is. I'm not. He's pretty for a while, and he was telling me that the country was under martial law for a while, where people weren't even able to travel. I think until I don't want to get the dates wrong. I want to say the 80s. You know, so there are not even a lot of people that, especially the older generations, has never even traveled, never even been outside. Certain small towns, you know, I'll go, and people aren't mean, I think they're curious, but I'll definitely get stares. You know, I've had some other people that said that people want to touch their skin and hair, because I've seen before, you know.
Right.
And, yeah, this one girl came up, she said somebody rubbed her skin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was going to rub off.
Oh, really?
Rub her skin off. Yeah, she's like, what are you talking about? And then I had another friend who, an older woman just came up to her and, poked her butt.
Wow.
See, yeah, like an old woman, 80 years old, you know. And then another friend that she's fluent in Chinese. She's been here about 4 years and has been studying the language, so she can converse pretty well. And she was taking a taxi, and she's from the islands. I forgot what islands, but she's island girl. And she was talking to this cab driver who's very old, and he was like, "I have a question." She's like, "What?" She's like, "Why do black people stay out in the sun so long?"
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I was born this way.
Right.
Yeah. And you would just think that it's common sense, but there are just some places on this planet where people aren't exposed to other types of people, you know? And
right.
And even, I even had a friend that he's from America, he's American. When I called him, and he was like, "So do they have toilets over there?" And I was like, yeah, you know, but I guess, you know, if you don't know about a country, you're just going to ask questions like that. So I'm teaching another class, and, you know, they're talking about America, and basically these are 13, 14-year-old kids, and they're thinking, you know, they think that Americans, we just have guns and we're just running around shooting each other, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did he tell you that? Yeah,
they don't have guns over there, or they're not allowed to own them, or
it's only the policemen and the gangsters have guns.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crime rate is very low here compared to America. I don't think guns and crime the ability to have or not have guns
Is the reason why that crime is low. Yeah, so it's it It sounds like it's just, you know, people just are naive. They just don't think like that over there, which is, I guess, a good thing, and it's a bad thing, because it's good because they do have less crime. They do have, you know, a good openness. But then at the same time, they can just be rolled up on. You know, like you're saying, how they had martial law, people probably didn't even question that. And then
absolutely,
they can easily be just taken over by if anyone.
China comes over, it's done.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If they want to just roll up on them, they could just probably do it, sounds like.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's good and it's bad. And it's just like, but for me, I don't think that, you know, I'm not satisfied living here any longer,
right,
knowing that,
yeah,
that I know I'm doing what I want to do. I'm going to come back. I definitely feel like I have a second home now. You know, I have friends, and this place has made me very, you know, it's welcomed me, and people have treated me very nice and looked to have gone above and beyond the call of duty. And, you know, I've just gone bent over backwards and been very, very nice to me.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah. It's, and so I'm not like smack talking, but I just,
right, right.
You know, but, you know, everybody has their opinions about where they live, so I'm sure they have opinions about us. You know.
Yeah.
And Coach, they won't say it because, you know, they have this thing about maybe saving face or looking good. They're really concerned about looking good to other people, so they won't be like, unless, you know, I have had some friends that I've. You know, pretty close enough to, if they trust me enough, or I'm just like, tell us what you think about Americans. Tell us, mm-hmm, tell me, you know, and it's all the stuff that we think that they think. So I wasn't like shocked.
Right.
Except for the gun thing, that did kind of shock me, because I was like, really? They think,
yeah,
we're just running around like shooting people up, you know?
Well, we do have a lot of films and things. I mean, our films that we send over there, even early Hollywood, all the Westerns and everything, it just seemed like we always had guns in America. That's just a, you know, it's, we're a gun nation. That is true. I mean,
yeah,
but it doesn't, like you say, it doesn't necessarily correlate with crime, because they also have a lot of guns in Canada. They don't have as much crime over there.
Yeah, and so, but, so that's Sweden, right? They have, everybody owns a
gun. Switzerland, everyone owns a gun. They have very low crime. And everyone is mandated to own a gun and have gun training as well. So that's kind of interesting. I think that's a very big difference, is when you have to know how to use it. You have to know what it is for protection. And, you know, they're taught that. So it's sort of, I think it's just the law. Everybody has to have some sort of military training.
So getting back, we were talking about this earlier, getting back into crime. Because there's a guy that makes videos, and he's, I guess, he's a philosopher. He's a modern-day philosopher, and you should know, I'm just going to say he's a modern-day philosopher and maybe something else. I don't know if he's written any books or anything, but he's made, like, at least 900 and something videos, like, talking about his opinions on things. And he's a very smart guy. You know, I agree with him on some subjects.
Right.
And I would like to actually see some more of his videos. I've just seen a few. I haven't seen all of them. He's just made so many. And,
right.
I like his analogy. His name is Stephen Molyneux, and I like his analogy when he talks about the government and how society have become like children, and they're dependent on the government to take care of them like parents. I think that's a brilliant analogy. But at the same time, he has this whole thing about spanking. That just drives me up the wall. And, you know, I'm not a parent. I hope to be someday, you know, but I'm not. But the thing that ticks me off is what he talks about is that people who are spanked become violent, and they attribute to a violent society, and we have violence because people are, like, spanked at home.
Right.
And I think that's ridiculous. And I think, you know, like, and if he pulls
right.
up, he's like, oh, well, this study was done talking about, like, children were spanked. Oh, no, he doesn't talk like, he's like, well, this study was done, you know, talking about,
yeah.
you know, how spanking can lead to violence. And I'm just like, well, yeah, well, I have studies that says that spanking doesn't lead to violence and actually leads to less violence. You know what I mean? You can pull up studies to prove or disprove anything. So I think that he's just, you know, coming up with a bunch of stuff because he wants it to be true, but it's really his opinion. You can't really prove it. So I was watching, he had this video up talking about, like, oh, why does anybody ever, like, pretend that there's a spanking debate? And he basically wants to ban spanking and, you know, tell people how to raise their kids. And the thing about that, too, is just like, I don't think that violent, I don't think we have a violent society because people are stained. And I don't think violence, being violent leads to, being spanked leads to violence. I was spanked. I got whipped at Disneyland. My parents did not care.
Right.
That's all I got. You know, and they didn't break any bones. They didn't, draw blood. You know, I got popped in the butt a few times. And it probably more, embarrassed me. And, the shock of being hit, freaked me out more than any physical damage, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I was saying, I'm not a parent, but for me, I get offended because is he saying that I'm a violent person, that I'm a lesser than person because I was spanked? You know? That's what, ticks me off, you know? And, you know, I don't have a hankering for bloodshed. You know, I'm not a violent person. I don't go out picking fights because I was spanked when I was growing up. My parents spanked, and then they grounded me, too. But I would get grounded for, my parents were really strict. But I honestly feel that kept me in line, personally. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's like a Stockholm syndrome effect. But I really feel like I was the type of person that, I have a smart mouth. I'm very curious. So a lot of the times, if my parents told me no, I would still do it anyway or do something anyway. So I feel like the only thing for me was if I got spanked, ow, that hurts. I don't want to get hit again, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm not going to do that thing so I don't get hit again. And then some people can argue and say, oh, well, you're teaching your kids that violence and you're telling kids that violence is wrong, but yet you're disciplining them with violence. But I think there's a difference between getting abused and being spanked. Because I used to be like, oh, my parents spanked me. I was so, oh, my God, they were just terrible, horrible people. And then I met people that were, really abused, that were, beat with, baseball bats and hammers and kicked downstairs and burned and, you know, had guns put to their heads when they were children by their own parents. And, you know, just I was like, oh, I guess I was wrong, you know. And then I just had to get over myself. You know, I don't feel like I've needed to go through therapy to work any of that stuff out as far as being spanked as a child. And I actually know a couple people who don't spank their children. And, you know, I'm not going to tell them how to raise their children, but all the other stuff, like the timeout stuff and, it's not working for them. And now their children just, walk all over them. Mm-hmm. And my theory is, if you're a parent, and your child doesn't get some kind of discipline, then somebody's going to beat their butt eventually, you know.
Well, I mean, as a parent, I don't spank my kids, but I have – I can tell you – but I was, as a child, I was also spanked, and I don't think that made me a violent person at all, really. But I think what you're talking about is intention. You know, when you have the intention to hurt, as with abuse, you know, people where you're describing they've been hit with baseball bats and things like that, I mean, really, what is their intention? Their intention is violence, is to hurt. So if your intention when you're spanking isn't to hurt, it's to – say, you know, it's to discipline. So that's where maybe the difference is, difference with people who are abused versus people who were spanked for the purpose of discipline. And I can understand where he's coming from in the sense that it can be sort of confusing for a child, or they have, you know, the kind of mixed messages when it comes to acting on violence, but then the parents use violence. Yeah. But it isn't, what you're describing isn't really necessarily violence. Yeah. It's just, you know, you're a little paddling on the bottom. But I don't do it. And I can tell you, you know, I don't feel the need to really do it. But I know that in society, because of people like him who consider that to be abuse, there's sort of a stigma on parents who will do that. And if you see somebody like that in the street, you know, like you're saying your parents spanked you at Disneyland, I mean, someone like that, oh, they'd have, security and, you know, they'd have, I mean, the whole grid would be just on top of that person calling child services and they'd be getting those kids taken away. Mm. I mean, so there's this whole thing now with Child Protective Services, which I've done some research on that, and then that what people may not understand about CPS is that it's a money-making industry. There are people who will take your kid based on virtually nothing and drug them for profit. I'm not exaggerating. There's no lie.
You're talking to the guest.
I've talked to the guest. I know you're not. I know you understand this. But
no,
I'm
April,
saying,
get out of town. I don't believe you. I don't believe. No.
For the purpose of the guests, I mean, this is a true story. I mean, if we want to give an example, there was the Marion Gottbaldo case. What was that? Just last year, the end of last year, and she was a Detroit mother, and she was a single mom, and she had a daughter who was, I believe, about 13. She had some disability, and her mother had homeschooled her because she'd had some physical problems that she didn't want her vaccinated for. And so she had been unvaccinated, but by the time she was around 13 years old, her daughter had requested to go to school, and Marion said okay and enrolled her in school and went ahead and had her vaccinated as per requested by the school, and her daughter started to develop problems as a result of the vaccination. She started having ADHD. She was diagnosed, I believe, with ADHD and some other behavioral issues, and she was kind of regressing, become clingy, sort of having mental confusion, violence, and so they put her on Risperdal, which is a type of antipsychotic drug, frequently used with ADHD and autism.
That just sounds like a demon in a bottle.
It is a demon in
yeah.
a bottle. And so her daughter started getting sicker and started having more behavioral problems. So she wanted to take her off the Risperdal because she knew that that was what was causing it. She was weaning her off slowly with the doctor's supervision, but they thought that she was neglectful and went ahead and called CPS on her. CPS came. And by force, forced the daughter out. They claimed that Marion fired a gun at them. She didn't. She had a gun, but she didn't fire it at anybody. But they claimed that. They lied. They lied and said that the father was not willing to take the child. He was. They went ahead and put her in a mental institution. In the mental institution, she was sexually abused, it appears, her daughter. And she was also but they decided while she was there that she didn't need the Risperdal and went ahead and took her off. Can you believe that? So the whole reason they took her away was because they said her mother wasn't giving her the Risperdal, but then the mental institution decided that she was right in the first place and went ahead and took her off the Risperdal. And they still considered her to be neglectful. Judge still cited her as a neglectful parent. This is something that, because this case was so high profile, she actually did end up getting her daughter back. But the cost was very high because obviously her daughter was abused. She had serious repercussions to her health as a result of their wanting to put her on this drug. I mean, she was away from her mom for several months, almost a year. Even when she was taken out of the custody of the state, she was still not able to stay with her mom. She still had to stay with family members. She wasn't able to stay with her mom. She was only able to get visitation with her mom. So, obviously it's a really traumatic situation. And it gets much, much worse. I mean, there are people who their kids get taken and they never see them again. And, and this happens all the time. So back to the spanking thing. If you're spanking your kid in public or you're spanking your kid, period, and this gets wind of child services, you better watch out because they're going to come in and take your kid. And not even mess around. And that's true with the drug laws, these vaccination laws. You know, people, the new, in California, there's a new bill being proposed to change the exemption laws for vaccination. So right now how it is that you can sign off and say you don't want to have your child vaccinated due to personal beliefs, or you can get a medical exemption. And so, but personal beliefs is the easiest one. You just sign off and say, I don't want to have my child vaccinated because I don't believe in it. Well, the law will change it so that parents have to say that they've been counseled by a doctor and the doctor's given them the pros and cons. And then,
which is complete bullshit because doctors don't even know the pros and cons, really.
No, and they're not going to show you the cons. They don't even know the cons. Or, and even if they did know the cons, they're not going to tell you. So Because it's not even, you can't go to any doctor. You can't go
to
a chiropractor.
Yeah, because they're taught the just basically the pros, you know.
Yeah, so you're going to have to go to a mainstream doctor. You can't get signed off by a naturopathic doctor or a homeopathic doctor or an acupuncturist, as you mentioned earlier. Those kinds of people aren't going to be approved to give you the pros and cons. It's going to be only mainstream doctors, pediatricians and such, the people who the government, approves to give this advice. So let's say... they go. You still decide. Okay. Well, I've been informed of the pros and cons. I still want to not have my child vaccinated. Hello, CPS. That's exactly what's going to happen. You're gonna sign off on this thing, and you're gonna say, I don't want to have my child vaccinated. I've been informed of the pros and cons, because the doctors are gonna tell you things like you're putting your child in mortal danger. They're actually, you know, you're exposing them to potentially deadly diseases. These kinds of things are going to be reported, that you're knowingly not having your child vaccinated, and you know that these potential threats are there, right? Which of course is a lie, because as we know, we've talked about several times, vaccination, there's no proven efficacy. We don't know if they even work at all, and we know that there's a lot of side effects, so including death. You can actually die from being vaccinated. So
I don't know, is death or the measles? Death?
Right, yeah. Right, exactly. And so, well, but the thing is that it's not even effective. So you still, you know, even if you get vaccinated for the measles, you still could get the measles.
Like I would get the flu shot and I get the flu.
Exactly. Because they don't work. Yeah. And, you know, and that's what I was saying how the actor, Rob Snyder, I would love to have him on, talk to him for a few minutes. I mean, if we were able to connect with him, because he actually came out and spoke against this bill and said it was against the state constitution. It's actually illegal because you can't force people into getting a medical procedure. And he talked about vaccines and autism. I was really impressed. I didn't know Deuce Bigelow, American Bigelow. You know, I mean, he's making copies, and you know, you can do it. I mean, remember that?
You'll get into it, yeah.
I actually did an extra shoot with him. I was in The Hot Chick. Remember The Hot Chick? Did you ever see that movie?
Oh, I didn't see that. Were you The Hot Chick?
I was a hot chick in way, way, way in the background. No. but no, I wasn't the hot chick. He was the hot chick. The hot chick was actually Rachel McAdams. And it was sort of a thing where they had like a switched body thing where he was a guy and she, you know, their souls transferred
like
or whatever.
Parent Trap or like.
Yeah, exactly, like that kind of thing. And it was, you know, sorry, Rob, I mean, it wasn't a great movie, but I appreciate your stance on vaccination. Huh?
Or Freaky Friday.
Yeah, like Freaky Friday, exactly. It was like Freaky Friday, and so. But it was a man and then the hot chick, which was played by Rachel McAdams, and her best friend was Anna Faris. And so there were definitely a lot of hot chicks in the movie, and I was somewhere in there in the background. I did a few days shoot on that. I don't remember how many days or anything about it. But he was there, and, you know, he said, you can do it. And he was talking to people and signing autographs and stuff. I didn't care to have an autograph. I just wanted to have my timesheet signed so I could go home. But
oh, totally, I know.
Yeah, I was like, okay, you know, thanks.
It.
But
okay. Yeah.
There were some people who wanted to take advantage of that. But anyway, he's a very smart guy, apparently, and, you know,
a lot of comedians, though, that's what you're talking about, this are very, very smart, you know. I think there's no way you can be a comedian without being really intelligent.
Right. Well, it's certain kind of intelligence to have a sense of humor. I mean, I think that, you know, that's one of the things that we look for in cognitively delayed or disability, people with mental disabilities. I mean, if you have a sense of humor, that shows that there's more intellectual capacity than sometimes they can show. Like with my son with autism, I mean, he has a sense of humor, so we get that. He probably understands more than he can express because just physically his body's not capable, but his mind can retain more, and part of the reason that you can tell that is through sense of humor. So Rob Snyder, funny guy, you know, a former Saturday Night Live cast member, and you know, obviously a good friend of Adam Sandler and almost all of Adam Sandler's films, and he's, you know, I'm sure made a bunch of money doing that. But he came out and he spoke about it. He said his wife is 5 months pregnant, and they don't want to have their child vaccinated. He wants to have the choice. He doesn't want to be forced into it.
Yeah.
And by some doctor who's going to say, he's not going to give you the cons. He expressed it beautifully, I thought. He really told it exactly how it is. And he talked about vaccines and autism and how, you know, they're not going to show you the negative effects. They're not going to give you the studies on that. And that's actually very, very accurate. And so I was really impressed. But my concern is that if this thing does go through, like I said, the parents are going to be called on by CPS. They're going to call, the doctors are going to start calling CPS on this. So it's basically this is going to be a Gestapo, you know, type coup. I mean, they're just going to come after any parent who doesn't vaccinate their kid. So they're going to say you have a choice, but you really don't.
Well, is this in New York? What state is this?
This is California.
What?
Yeah, this is happening.
Oh my! I'm so, like, I just feel like a ditz right now. I just, you know, I haven't really been paying attention to a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
being off the country, you know.
Yeah, no, you're out of the country, but yeah, this is. I mean, I haven't even been following this as much as I should have because I've been so busy doing this project and everything else. But it's definitely gonna. I don't know. I hope that this thing just gets voted down. I think that he made a good impact and a good impression on people to give them maybe a different perspective. And being a celebrity, maybe people will listen to him.
You know, I just, what ticks me off is I don't get the people that don't want to like look it up, don't want to look into it. Not because they're busy, but because they're just like no. Like, you know,
yeah.
I think they think that people that don't vaccinate their kids are like, we have cauldrons in the basement and we're like, you know, stirring in bat ears and like frog legs,
right,
and stuff and like make decisions.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, that's
yeah,
true.
Right.
Like we just woke up and decided this one day. Like we didn't have any thought. We're like, you know what? You know, oh, it's Tuesday. You know what? Vaccines are bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
exactly.
You know, hello, in Tuesday. You know, it's
yeah. Remember those trolls we had on our Facebook page? We had those vaccine trolls. We had some vaccine pictures and some posts on our wall on Facebook, and then we had a couple of people who found him. One guy was claiming to be a doctor. He didn't seem all that bright, though. He was kind of like, you know. And then there was a couple of his friends, I guess, who came in on it. And one lady, she goes, well, I'm going to get double vaccinated now. And I'm like,
well,
great.
Yeah,
well, great. Good for you. Like, why do you think we care?
I know.
You do? I mean, that's where it's like you came to me.
Yeah, you came on our page. We're not even
you came on our
to,
page.
Like, tell you. We're not even, you know, if you want to,
right,
vaccinate it, fine. But, I mean, like, I'm not, like, I've informed my friends about stuff, you know, as I think I talked
right
about earlier, I've lost a couple friends or people I thought were my friends were over, you know, over an issue of just trying to inform them. Just one time. I only sent out one note. That was, like, the only note that I sent to them. And they,
right,
like, flipped out. Like, I'm not even, like, sending notes and posting. I post stuff on my own page, but I'm not, like, I don't really go posting stuff on other people's pages. I'm not, like, a radical person that's, like, you know, posting stuff on people's pages. I did that one time, which I tagged them in a note that I wrote talking about the bill that was coming out in California that was allowing children to get vaccinated under 12 and up without their parents' permission. And I was thinking about them because they had nieces and nephews and children. Like, I tagged everybody that I knew and loved that had children. And I added links, and I added YouTube videos, and I added stuff so they can do their own research. But they just, like, flipped
right
out and, like, I don't know, man. I guess he was like, you're putting us all in danger. I'm like, how am I putting you in danger if you're getting vaccinated
right
in the first place? Why,
yeah,
and why
yeah
are you getting vaccinated? And this is, like, common sense. And
right
it's just, at least can you look into what I'm talking about? You know, can
yeah
at least look it up. Then call my bluff, you know. But there's just
right
people that are just like, even, that's just what's really frustrating. It's like, that's why I think, you know, the CDC and stuff, they put all the ingredients on their website because they know people aren't going to really look at it. People don't
right
read really anymore. People aren't going to, like, you know, it's just
no
so frustrating.
Yeah, they're just going to trust. They're just going to trust their doctor. I mean, I had someone said one time, you know, just because doctors, you know, have this degree and everything doesn't make them divine. I mean, they can't see everything, every potential risk that's going to happen. And as we talked about before, doctors don't really research pharmaceuticals. They, as Gwen Olson pointed out, they don't.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The pharmaceutical rep we talked about before. She's a whistleblower, and she's.
Yeah, we're gonna try and have her on in the future too.
Yeah, we have to have.
We've been in communication with her a little bit, but she sounds like a doc. Like she's like on her stuff. She's very educated,
right.
And very 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 bright woman. But
yeah.
She talked about that. She talked about how it was basically her job to come in and educate the doctors about how the pharmaceutical industry works. And I didn't know that. Yeah, I thought doctors learned about pharmaceuticals in school. Or and then they kept up on it maybe, you know, as things progress, but they don't.
Right. No.
They don't. They're just like, okay, well, you know, and they're so busy, they're overwhelmed anyway, you know, they just, and they get kickbacks and, you know, they're in debt, you know, because of medical school, you know, they don't really start making money until they're older.
Yeah.
They have a lot of bills to pay themselves. So it's just, excuse me, sorry. I hope that didn't, like, read loud into the mic. Sorry if it did.
No, you're right. I mean, they don't know. They don't really know anything about pharmaceuticals. They really, really don't. And so that doctor that was on our Facebook page, and he was sort of claiming that vaccines were very, very safe, and I said, well, I know several people damaged by vaccines, including my own son, and, you know, our friend Sarah, who came on and talked about Gardasil, a number of other people. And he said, well, yeah, that's true. There's nothing that's perfectly safe, but that's still very, very rare. Well, dude, I just named like 10 different people. How rare is it if, you know, I'm one person and off the top of my head I can just rattle off like 10 people damaged? I mean, true, I'm in the community. I guess you could say that, but I think that, you know, that's a little like insensitive. They just sort of desensitize themselves to any kind of problem that people are having, and they just write it off as really, really rare, and it's not that rare. It's
yeah.
pretty common, you know. It's hard to look at society today and say, well, 1 in 10 kids has a developmental disability, and go, they'll, you know.
Well, that's really rare.
That's really common. If you're talking about, you know, more than 50%. I mean, not 50%, but you're talking about 1% of, or less than that. What is that? 10% of the kids in your class, you know, that you have in your class are going to be have some kind of delay of some sort, you know, some form of dyslexia.
Just to give you something to compare it to, I taught special ed, or I subbed special ed for like 8 years, and that was how I made most of my money, because, you know, there weren't a lot of subs that were willing to teach special ed. And, you know, I've talked to teachers, especially the older ones. I've talked to a few older ones, and they would say, you know, there was a time where they would have maybe one special ed child in the classroom. But now I'm working at schools that have at least 3 or 4 classes of special ed children.
Right. Yeah, and my son's, his preschool teacher used to tell me that, because she was older. She had been teaching for a good 25, 30 years. And she kind of told me the progression of it. She said that she saw in the beginning, she had been taught about autism. She went to school to become a special ed teacher. So they had been taught about it, but she didn't see any until, because, you know, she started in the 70s, and then eventually she saw like one, and then there were, you know, a few kind of peppered in, but all boys. And she said, and then by the 80s she saw her first first girl rather, and, you know, and as time went on, then it was like the entire class. And then it was like the predominant disorder. And then it was like everybody in the special ed class was autistic, and they had to build new special ed classes. I mean, before they didn't have special ed classes specifically for autism, because there weren't enough kids to fill an entire class. And now
yeah.
they have, like you're saying, they have like 3 in one school.
Yeah.
And,
3 to
you know,
4,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, 3 to 4 in one school. So it's obvious. And she was a big proponent on, you know, that it could be vaccines or other kinds of environmental things. She used to talk to me about, you know, she'd say, well, what about like things like plastics and all these kinds of things that are in our society? I said, yeah, I'm sure that's all part of it.
You know, but it's just that
yeah.
people have been brainwashed to believe that diseases aren't they're only, you know, caused by viruses or bacteria. There's no toxicological causes for vaccines. As Liam, we had Liam Sheff on, author of Official Stories, and he has a really good chapter in his book that talks about vaccines and the origin of vaccines. And, you know, I thought it was really funny that when he's explaining it, I'm like, wow, the creation of vaccines seems more like witchcraft, more like voodoo than any other, you know, what they're claiming that people that, you know, use herbs and you know, other kinds of alternative methods do, you know.
Right.
It's like the guy would take pus-filled lesions that he would get off of cows and drain them and then dry them and then blow them on people.
Right.
I literally got sick to my stomach reading that chapter. I had to get like ginger ale to like settle my stomach. I was like literally oh, it was so gross.
Right. Well, I think what he was talking is that there was a form of inoculation, and at some point they learned how to turn it into a profit industry. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. These people were self-serving. Louis Pasteur, Jonas Salk, they wanted to have fame, they wanted to have money, they wanted to have glory.
Fortune and glory.
Exactly. And so this is how they obtained it, through, you know, trying to figure out how to stop disease. And they were looking for cancer-causing diseases and all this kind of stuff. And he gets into that in his book. But we've talked about it with him on the show.
And make no mistake, scientists and doctors can be fame whores as well.
Oh, of course they can. And, I mean,
people that
and have egos and all that. And they, you know, they think they, you know, have the, like I said, sometimes, you know, they get into it that they're divine or that they have God complex.
Definitely.
They can actually, you know, to change more than what they're capable of changing. And so, anyway, so back to all of that. So we started this whole conversation because you were talking about Stefan Molyneux, who really goes on these rants about spanking. And I agree with what you're saying as far as, you know, I don't necessarily think that that turns someone into a violent person, because I really think it's the intention of the parent, you know, whether when they're spanking versus whether they're abusing the child.
Yeah.
But in our society, you can't do it anymore. You really can't. Yeah. I mean, if you do, you're taking a risk that people are going to spy on you and they're going to call CPS on you and going to try and get your kids taken away. It's that crazy.
What's even creepier is that children, you know, there are a lot of children that are growing up very intelligent but not really wise, and a lot of children are growing up with, like, they know that. So they'll play that against the parent too.
Yeah,
you know what
sure,
I mean?
Because, you know, yeah, so I think Alex Jones talks about I listen to Alex Jones and he talks about the green police. And he said that there were some schools that were telling children to tell on their parents for taking hot baths. You know, like,
baths?
Yeah, like if your mommy's taking a hot bath, you know, write her a green police ticket because it's not environmentally friendly to take a hot bath for too long, and then you can use too much hot water. I mean, things like that, you know, trying to teaching kids to spy on their parents.
Oh my God, I would have been in prison by now. I love taking hot baths. Like,
well, and then I do too. I know, and I, you know. And there was also, back in the 80s, they had the whole Nancy Reagan Just Say No to Drugs campaign. Okay. And so they would teach us to basically tell on your parents. Like, if your parent, are your parents doing anything like that? Well, you know, don't, you know, come in and tell a teacher. Come in and tell a police officer. What? You know, so basically teaching kids to turn against their parents and, you know, take them away. It's all the whole Brave New World thing about...
Sure.
And you know, getting rid of the family, and you know, just breaking down the family, and trying to have kids owned by the state.
And also, I'm glad you brought that up. But I was going on the tip that, like, also too, just children are very, because they know this, they can be very vindictive about it too. Not even in that sense, you know, they think they're brainwashing the children into thinking that they're doing a good thing, but then on the flip side, or on another, not even on the flip side, on another side, there are children that know exactly what they're doing, and they just, they do stuff to get their way. You know, like I have a mentor. He's like one of my mentors, and he was my sixth grade teacher, and I still, you know, to keep in touch with him today. I asked him for advice, and he's an awesome teacher, really, really great guy. And he used to teach upper grades, and like maybe, I don't know, sixth grade, yeah, because he was my sixth grade teacher. So when I was subbing, I worked with him a lot at my last job in America, and we were talking, and I was like, you know, why don't you teach upper grades anymore? And he's like, oh, well, he said he had a student to come to him and said if he didn't give her straight A's, she was going to tell people that he molested her.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But
wow.
That's creepy because she knew exactly what he was doing. And, I mean, he's the type of person I know, God forbid, if that were to, you know, if that happened, then, I wouldn't believe her. You know, there's some people, maybe kids said that. And I'm like, I knew it. You know, but he's definitely one person that's just like,
you wouldn't.
Yeah, like, no, he's not like that, you know. And then, but luckily what happened was I think he told the principal, and they called into the office, and they, like, scared her and got her to confess, and then they immediately, like, expelled her. So, but still, like, he...
That's good, yeah. But you're right, though, because I've even heard of that happening where some kids will make up stories to because they want to get out of trouble, or, you know, they're kids. They don't know.
Or they just want to, like, you know,
they
just want to get their way. They don't know the repercussions it can really have on somebody's life.
On their
life.
Parents or on themselves.
Yeah.
Because they might even actually get taken away, and they'll end up in one of these homes, and they'll really be sorry that they lied.
Yeah.
And that they made problems for their parents when maybe it was just spanking, and they want to call it abuse, or they want to call, you know, because they're mad at their parents for spanking them. You know what I mean?
And they're getting spanked a whole different way, you know.
And they'll go into one of these homes and find out, you know, real quick.
Real abuses, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then, you know, and abuse is far more common in a government home than it is in the natural home. So people just think about that. I want to put that out there. When you see a family and you're judging the parent, you think the parent's got problems or something like that, before you call CPS, I urge you to try and reason with them and talk to them, maybe ask them if they need any help, rather than leaping to a judgment, because they are far more likely to be abused in state custody, and they're far more likely to die in state custody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I want to say to people out there. Because I hear people will say, oh, I want to call CPS because the parents smoke cigarettes. And I go,
are you serious?
I'm like,
what?
Look, you know, they smoke cigarettes in the home. Look, you know, maybe, you know, throw down some pamphlets in their house on the dangers of smoking. But don't call CPS on them, because there's no regulations regarding that with foster care. And even if there were regulations regarding whether foster parents could smoke or not, who's to say that they would follow those regulations? They don't care. These aren't their real kids. They're, you know, a lot of these people are making money, and they'll make more money if they can put these kids on drugs. They'll make more money if these kids have disabilities. I mean, so this is a money-making industry. Please be aware of that. Don't just be calling CPS thinking that, you know. Talk to your neighbor, please. Start talking to
people.
Them. Is there anything I can do to help you? You look overwhelmed. You know, I mean, just stop, you know, being so...
Especially if you're not a parent yourself.
Yeah.
You know, too, like, you don't know, like, and you don't really know, like I said, I always put the disclaimer out there, I'm not a parent, but I definitely have friends that are parents, and from observation, I can tell that it's one of the hardest jobs, like, ever. The most overwhelming jobs ever, I would assume, you know?
Right. It's a pretty tough job.
But there are people that, like, they don't have children, and I think that there's some people that don't have children, and they're not sympathetic to that. They don't understand. They're like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. Stephen Molyneux, you can call him, because he said,
why would they do this? So I don't like this whole sort of war against parents, you know, and making parents out to be bad people. And, you know, just because they spank or they have different parenting styles, you really need to investigate and look at yourself, too, because that's a lot of times people don't see the ways that they might not be perfect parents also. Are you neglectful? Do you watch, you know, do you ignore your kids? Do you, you know, give them enough affection? Are you, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that you could be doing wrong, and it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just, means that you're imperfect, and that's
human.
That's part of human nature. Yeah. And so, or anything, and you know, that's part of nature. Period.
Well, you know, they can also call Stephen Molyneux, because he said that he would intervene if he saw a parent hitting their child in public. And I was like, really? I'd pay really good money to see that.
Well, I hope that he intervenes before calling CPS. That's all I can say. Talk to the parent before doing that. I mean, you know, at least he won't do that, because I know that he's done videos on the state and how they overrun kids and drug them and all things like that. And he's called it evil. So I know I would rather he approached me than actually.
I'm Stephen Molyneux. I've come to intervene from your abusive behavior.
I would find him a little bit of an annoying jerk, but I would also prefer that versus calling the popo and just trying to get there. That's what most people do. They don't, you know, they don't talk to their neighbor. They'll just call the authorities, you know. It's like, get out of here.
Yeah, you know, I had these, I should give them a name. I'm tempted to, like, talk about them on air, but I will. So anyway, I would just call them Dick and Beth. You know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So these two friends of mine, or ex-friends of mine, Dick and Beth, you know, they would complain about their neighbors playing music and loud or just doing being loud or whatever. And I was like, you know, you don't go to their house and ask them to be quiet. Or ask them, you know, and this would be, it's not even necessarily late at night, but I'm just like, you're not, you know, you don't
right.
like go and communicate with them, because a lot of times, you know, if I've been loud in the past, I don't realize I'm being loud. I don't realize that my music is carrying out. I like to play my music loud, and I don't realize that it's carrying out. And if somebody comes and says, hey, you know, I'm trying to take a nap or I'm doing this and your music is really loud, I think 9 times out of 10, most people will turn down their music.
Right,
you
know? Right.
Well, you know, but, you know, they just call the police on them. And I'm just like, you're not going to, like, people don't.
You guys are, that's so lame.
Yeah. And
that's so lame. That's so, like, what are they scared of their neighbors? I mean, what? Why is everybody so afraid of everybody else and then not afraid of the government? That's
I know.
Be afraid. You know, it's like you're calling the authority, you're calling the state. Why aren't you afraid of them?
Yeah.
Why don't you think that they're going to roll up on you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean.
I know, and I know. And
it's like,
you know.
Did we learn anything from the Holocaust? Did we learn anything from all that?
Well,
I mean, that's.
I know.
Yeah.
There was another incident where I have another friend who was practicing singing, and a lady rolled up. A lady came up to her. She was singing really loud, and she knocked on the door and opened the door and pulled a knife on her.
Whoa!
And because she was singing really loud. Now it turns out this lady was schizophrenic, but
okay.
when I was talking to Dick and Beth about it.
Yeah.
Dick was like, well, she shouldn't have been singing so loud.
Uh-huh.
Like, well, maybe she didn't realize she was singing so loud. You know what I mean? Like,
right, right.
It wasn't like singing loud on purpose to annoy people. But that was just his response to it. And I was just like, that's really, like, where's your sensitivity? You know?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's so funny, but they're really nice to animals. You know, it's like one of these people we're talking about, like, how think about the ways that you're imperfect before you judge other people. But, you know, they're very, you know, I really despise, I love animals, I love people, but
right.
I'm not going to treat people, I mean, animals. Well, I mean, I'm not going to mistreat an animal either.
Right.
I will kill a mosquito in a second, though, don't get me wrong, but.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, I'm trying to have find an appreciation for all living things. I'm working on my fear of certain insects, you know. But anyway, I digress. But you know, I despise people that aren't sensitive to other human beings, but they're nice to animals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's sort of a hypocrisy. I mean, they sound like liberals, gliberals.
Yeah, they are.
Like fake liberals, like, you know, this whole kind of lefty society where they just want to be nice to animals, be nice to the trees, but hate humanity. You know, call the police on anybody who has the slightest imperfection if you play your music too loud, or if you sing too loud, or if you don't vaccinate your kids, let's call the police, because they're obviously, you know, bad people.
Did you have an incident like that with your neighbor about?
Yeah, I did. I had a neighbor who, and this was because Aiden, you know, my son with autism, was making a lot of vocal stimming. You hear him when he's on the, when I'm on the phone with you. Sometimes he gets, you know, this kind of like la la yeah, and he does this with his voice. And so he was really loud. We had the windows open, and we have a balcony outside, and he would go outside and kind of be out there, and he'd be making these sounds. And so she never – so I'm assuming it's a she, because I kind of think I know who it is, but I'm not certain. And actually don't even know if this person still lives in our apartment complex. But anyway, she wrote a note, a very long note, but never talked to me. Just put this note on the door, and apparently had been calling the leasing office, the managers of the apartment, and they never told me either. No one ever told me. No one said anything until I got this note. And then the note was real disparaging, basically saying I was a bad parent and I was, you know, letting my son run around wild. I mean, he was just making a little noises that he can't control. But we have leaf blowers, we have lawn mowers that start at 7 a.m., we have construction.
They're louder, yeah.
We have dogs barking all the time, there's other kids that are playing. It was obviously...
It wasn't like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, too? Like,
yeah, it was like, I mean, what, do I have my kids up at like 2 in the morning? No. I mean, he's...
Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying it's not like she was like, yeah. She was probably looking at Oprah or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no,
she
needed
like...
to watch Dr. Phil. I mean, she was, you know, like, come on, Dr. Phil's going to tell me how to run my life. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And so your son is irritating me. But and I also felt that it was sort of just that, you know, even though there's other sounds that were even louder, but because maybe she didn't understand what it was, or because he was sort of, because it's different, or it's a sound that isn't a common, you know, it just irritated her. I think it just irritated her. And so she did that, and she kept calling them. And so finally I talked to the leasing management, and apparently they didn't know that they could tell this person that my son had autism. They felt that it was sort of... a breach of privacy, and so they never explained that to her. And so I went over there and I got a note from his doctor explaining the vocal stimming and the sounds and a few other things, and gave him some cards. And I said, look, anytime someone comes in and they talk to you guys, tell them to call me. First of all, I gave all my information. I gave my email address, my phone number, my, you know, I said, please, my blog, you know, everything you, I'm an open book. I write about it. I talk about, you know, my experience with autism. I am not trying to hide this fact at all, okay? You know, I'm like, I know you guys are, you know, being respectful, and you were thinking that maybe it was a medical condition I didn't want to talk about, but, you know, just Google me, okay? Google my name. You'll see it's all over the place. I don't hide the fact that, you know, I have some autism. So
it's funny. It's not like you like open your window and you're like, stim Aiden, stim like the wind, like you
right exactly
purpose.
But no, I mean, other kids play outside. It's not. It's no different than any other kids playing outside. It's just that his noises are not typical, and so they make her uncomfortable because it's not something that she's used to seeing or used to hearing, and so the sound. That's what I feel anyway. I felt that it was, you know, and because she never communicated with me. And so I said to the leasing officer, I said, please tell this person to anytime she has questions, anytime she wants to know anything, you know, she doesn't need to bother you guys. She can come straight to me.
Yeah, and, you know, but, and so much drama would have been resolved if she had just done that, you know.
Exactly. But yeah,
people,
exactly.
People don't, it's just sad that people don't do that.
No.
You know, and it's like, I remember those 2 weeks when 9/11 happened and everybody was actually like that. They would actually look each other in the eye and they would talk to each other and they would communicate to each other.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, God, I'm not saying that, you know, the people that died, it was worth it, but and it wasn't. But at the same time, it's like, wow, you got a taste of like what a really beautiful, like, you know, society could be if people just communicated and talked to each other. You know, people were like,
right.
You would walk down the street and people would say hi, and you'd say hi back, and they were like, oh, you know, I felt like people just had this genuine concern for each other that they usually
right.
don't have, you know?
Yeah.
For I think it was about 2 weeks. Maybe it was a little longer. but I felt like people, you know, I can feel the energy just shift when people were just...
Right, which is weird because now, I mean, the whole false flag thing is used to not trust us, to not to trust your neighbor, you know, because then they'll say, well, you know, first you're looking for Al-Qaeda, right? But then so everyone thinks, okay, well, we know we have an enemy, we all have a common enemy, so we can love each other here in this country and be good to each other, but we have a common enemy. We hate everybody that has brown skin and lives in the Middle East. And then when you have, but then of course, you know, that's not enough for the Department of Homeland Security and the CIA, and everybody wants us to also fear each other.
Yeah.
So they conjure up a Timothy McVeigh or somebody who's, you know, Oklahoma City bombing and these people and say, well, it's the homegrown terrorists. It's people who homeschool their kids. It's people who, you know, or that was the whole Waco thing, you know, the Waco, Texas thing that Janet Reno came out and said that the threat that to Homeland Security wasn't overseas. It was actually domestic. It was actually people who homeschooled their kids, people who had staunch religious beliefs, people who, you know, believed in the Second Amendment. And, you know, we've seen examples of this carry out. You know, there was also an incident called Ruby Ridge where it was a similar kind of situation. This family who was sort of aware of the New World Order. They were aware of the Rothschilds and all this kinds of stuff. They were conspiracy, quote, theorists.
Conspiracy realists. That's what they were.
Yeah, and they were, but I mean, they were self-reliant. They lived in on their land, and they lived off their land, and they had their own protection, and so Department of Homeland Security came in and you know, started a war with them, killed the whole family. So, and the, just like they did with the Waco people, I mean, they killed all those people, the Branch Davidians. We don't know what those people were. If they were saying that he was molesting the children, but we don't really know that.
Yeah, and it's so funny because I remember seeing the TV movie about that too. So in my mind, you know, growing up, I thought those people, I was like, oh, you know, they're crazy people. And but now, I mean, I totally have a different view. I don't think that was the case at all.
You know, right? Yeah, and even if they were, I mean, did they have to kill all these women and children and families and everybody? I don't know. It was crazy. But then you go. Then you have all this fear. So that's how they get us to be afraid of each other.
Well, divide and conquer. Divide and conquer.
Yeah,
you know,
divide and conquer. It's as old as Sun Tzu. Divide and conquer. You don't need to. And the other thing he said, you know, you don't have to attack your enemy if you can get the people to kill each other.
Well, so yeah. Well, you know, there's this thing called the Willie Lynch speech, and you know, it was supposedly an imaginary speech that was written up to show how they kept the African American slaves subdued during slavery. Now, I'm sure they use this technique in different colonies, and you can also see how it's applied to modern day society. You know, it's like so the speech basically says, turn the light skinned slaves against the dark slaves, turn the old against the young, the male against the female, any difference that you can find, you know. And what you do is you create one superior, right? And then you give the superior side, whether it's the male, so like the male would be superior to the female, right? The light skin would be superior to the dark skin. The young would be superior to the old. So you just basically play them against each other, right?
Yeah.
And then they have animosity. You privilege the other one side, then the other one starts to feel animosity toward the other one, and then it just kind of creates this vicious circle of hate between them. But then not only within the African American slavery system that they did this, but you can see how it's expanded out to our society today. Because now if you take it just out of within, so it's like within the black race there's fighting, but then you take that out, but then within the human race there's fighting, right?
Yeah.
So maybe blondes, maybe it's not, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Maybe it's not as bad with white people, but I think blondes are more, a little more privileged than brunettes. But it's not as,
right.
You know what I mean? But I'm just saying, you still find something, you find, but then whites are more privileged than blacks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The lighter you are, the more, I would say privileged, or the less, you know, I definitely know that being a lighter skinned black, sometimes I feel like I've been able to get away with more stuff as if I were darker skinned. Like,
right.
Not going to lie about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think,
yeah.
Knowledge, you just recognize your conditioning and move on. I don't think that makes you a bad person. You know, I've definitely had respect for white people that have acknowledged their privilege. I don't hate them for it. I don't hate the player. I hate the game, you know.
Right.
You can't.
Well, we've been talking for a while here. I think it's about time to take a break. We actually usually take a break sooner than this, but I think it's time for us to take a short commercial break. We'll hear a word from our sponsor, which is us. And we are Truth or Talk, and you can find us at www.truthortease.com, shop.truthortease.com, and we will take a quick little break and return to our show in a few. All right. See you soon.
All right.
You can do it!
Well, my wife is 5 months pregnant, and I'm for parental rights, not government coercion, telling us what we can do, what we can't do with our kids. There is no other mandated procedure it's illegal. You can't make people do procedure that they don't want. The parents have to be the ones who make the decisions for what's best for our kids. It can't be the government saying that. It's against the Nuremberg laws. I mean, it's ridiculous, and it's against the state constitution, and it's against their own bylaws here. I mean, I've been reading some legislation that was passed years ago about they used to do state sterilizations, and they thought that was a good thing, you know? So you can't let the state make the decisions. The people have to decide, and parents have to decide, and that's why I'm here. You know, the idea that the state is going to tell me what I can do with my kids. First of all, and the doctors are not going to tell you both sides of the issue. They're not, because they are. They're told by the pharmaceutical industry, which makes billions of dollars, that it's completely safe. And let me tell you, they've gone from when you and I were kids, you had like 8 shots. Now it's up to 70 shots and multi-shots. And they don't tell you the safety of these things. There's no efficacy study. In other words, if you and I were going to do, if I was going to have a car seat, okay, I was going to say, here's the car seat. You'd have to show some proof that it's a safe seat, right? You'd have to say, here's a thousand accidents with it, and here's 1,000 without it. And they go, okay, you can compare. They have refused to, and no vaccine company, none of the pharmaceutical companies and government tests have done 1,000 kids with the shots and 1,000 without. They refuse to, because it's not what they want to hear. Because what they're doing right now is that the pharmaceutical industries are doing fine. They're making billions of dollars, and they're continuing to, they're increasing more shots. And it's at the cost of our children. Because the efficacy of these shots have not been proven. And the toxicity of these things, we're having more and more side effects. You're having more and more autism. When you go from autism, which was unheard of in America in 1930, to when it was 1 in 5,000 after seeds started being preserved with mercury, which is the second most toxic thing on this planet next to plutonium, and then you go to, let's go up a couple of decades. By 1990, it was 1 in 200. Now it's 1 in 88. Now, truthfully, it's true that a lot of the autism rates are grouped into one, but there is something that's really happening. And one of the most vulnerable things you can do to a child who doesn't have an immune system is give them a shot. And I'll just give you one example. You take the hepatitis B, okay? Now, hepatitis, you're only going to get that from drug use, and you're going to get that from intravenous drug use, and again, from sexual contact. And yet, they won't let a baby out of the hospital unless insisting on getting the shot. I'm sorry. That's an unnecessary shot that they don't need to have, well, especially when the baby's immune system isn't developed. The baby's immune system is the mother's immune system. So it is beyond ridiculous. It's criminal. And so here we are. I'm up here, flying up here, to testify to this lunacy. And I can't believe that they're willing to continue this. And people have to stand up. I mean, that's the part about a democracy. People have to step up, and that's what I'm here to do today.
Do you think there's too much government intervention in our lives today, whether or not you live in California or New York
in
the U.S.?
I mean, but there is some. I mean, there needs to be some. I mean, governments need to protect roads, and I agree with that. But government can't make decisions on what I do to my body and my children's body. That they have to stay out of that. That's not something that's open for discussion. I got to make my choice, and I'm going to do what's best for my child. And to the idea that they're going to mandate that if I don't want to vaccinate my kid, they can't go to school unless they get a consent from a doctor, that's lunacy. Because you're assuming that the doctor's going to show you both sides, that there's benefits and there are risks. And there's a great book for people to go and get. It's called The Vaccine Guide by Dr. Neustadler. read that, and then become informed. And then you can make an educated decision, not a government mandate. And so I'm against this by Assemblyman Pan, is it? I'm not voting for Pan. I'm going to vote against him. He's up for election. Let me tell you, I'm going to be up here, and I'm going to campaign against you, okay? It's for you putting a bill that's against parental rights. And I'm going to make sure you don't get reelected.
You can do it!
I was on holiday with Sir Laurence Olivier. We had decided that 9/11 was an intelligence operation. We'd all known about JFK. He had so many mistresses. The CIA shot him. Castro could never have done it. Clear. We had become realists, conspiracy realists. How would we let everyone know was the question. We decided to buy T-shirts that told the contents of our hearts and minds to the world. We went to shop.truthertees.com. Even though the internet hadn't been invented at the time, we went to shop.truthertees.com. There, we purchased Conspiracy Realist T-shirts, one of a kind, sold only at shop.truthertees.com. 100% cotton in men's and women's fitted sizes. I won't tell you which one I'm wearing.
Hi, welcome back. You're listening to Truth or Talk. I'm April Bowden.
And I'm Christine Henry.
And you guys just heard on the break Rob Snyder, the actor Rob Snyder from Deuce Bigelow, and he used to be on Saturday Night Live. And that was him talking about this bill in California that Christine and I were talking about before the break that pertains to a person's right to choose their vaccination schedule. So, and just to explain that in California, a person attending school, a child attending school, has the option to opt out of the vaccine mandates if it goes against their personal beliefs. And it's just a form they fill out. It says, I disagree with vaccination. I will not attend school if there's an outbreak. Boom, that's it. You're done. And so what this bill is going to do, as we kind of briefed in the beginning of the show, is that it's going to change that law so that you have to go to a doctor, and the doctor is going to then weigh the pros and cons, you know, as if they're going to really give you the cons, and then sign off on this form. You know, Lord knows what the verbiage is going to be. I'm sure it's going to say something terrible about you as a parent, which is why I was saying if you sign it, you're going to end up getting a call from CPS or a visit from CPS because, you know, it's a frame up. They're framing it so that you basically are going to be forced to have to take these vaccines. And Rob Snyder spoke really eloquently about it. I was so impressed that I put it on during the break because it was just, he just said it perfectly,
yeah.
I thought, didn't you?
Yeah, he did. Just very matter of fact, very like calm though, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's sometimes very hard to get all that information across, I think, sometimes in a calm manner. Because me, I know sometimes I have that problem. You can get really worked up and you just like, oh, my God, because to me, you know, it's just common sense, you know, and about why people shouldn't get vaccinated. And all people really have to do is research it. It's not like,
right.
It's not like rocket science. It's not like, or it's not like, you know, people are making it up. And or there's actually a science to not getting vaccinated. You know, people think that. You're like, oh, you don't want to get vaccinated. Oh, there's no science to that, but there is. You know, it's actually less science the other way around. It's just, I don't know, everything's backwards. But he did a really good job, and I was really impressed. And we can have him on. We're gonna try.
We're gonna try. Yeah, we'll try to manifest that. That would be amazing because he's a really big star, and obviously he can do, you know, Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien and everybody, you know, big people on television. But so it's probably a long shot. But I thought that was, he said it perfectly. He said it very eloquently. And I liked how he told Dr. Pam, because that's the douchebag that, you know, that wrote the whole bill and is trying. And he's a doctor. So obviously he has a financial interest in having people vaccinated because he gets paid for it, right? And so this douchebag, Dr. Pam, who wrote the bill, and he said, I'm going to make sure you don't get reelected, Dr. Pan. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people who...
I bet you Dr. Pan doesn't vaccinate his kids.
Oh, probably
not. It's the people that are like coming out and be like, oh, people should get vaccinated. Most of the time, and I don't even actually, they don't vaccinate their kids. Like Dr. Oz doesn't vaccinate their kids, but yet.
Right, Dr. Oz. And, yeah. And I know, and it was funny when they were doing the whole sort of calling of Dr. Andrew Wakefield. And he was going on all the shows talking about his book and everything, and they were just trying to demonize him and make him seem like he was this horrible monster, which is so hard to do because the guy is just a gem. He's such a sweet, lovable, like, just awesome person. I mean, he's just a decent, decent guy. And but they went on and they tried to make him seem really terrible. And I remember when he was interviewing with George Stephanopoulos, and George Stephanopoulos said he kind of, like, tried to corner him and say, "What, do you vaccinate your kids?" And he was like, "Well, I did until I did the research, and then I stopped." You know, he's come out and said, I wish I'd known. I wouldn't have vaccinated my own kids if I knew before I did it. But then I didn't know at first, and then once I did the research, I stopped. So I thought it was funny. He's sitting there acting like he's going to paint him in a corner, like he's going to go, "Yeah, I vaccinate my kids, but I don't want other people to do it." I mean, it was just so stupid. He didn't make any money off that. The guy lost everything just to tell the truth.
Yeah,
and you know, so it's just amazing how it's just this medical industrial complex, this pharmaceutical industry, is just controlling everything. And this is what's going on in California, because last year we talked about this when we had Sarah on, our Gardasil victim, or the girl who got hurt by the Gardasil vaccine. She's not really a victim because she's awesome, but she was victimized by the pharmaceutical industry, just like my son was through vaccination. And anyway, when she was on, we talked a little bit about the bill in California that went through last year that's going to allow children 12 and up to vaccinate without their parents' consent with Gardasil, the HPV vaccine, or the hepatitis B, because those are the two sexually transmitted disease, quote-unquote, vaccines. So she – what was I going to say about that? Oh, so, yeah, so we fought really hard here in California, all of our people, to try and defeat that bill. I mean, we were sending the governor letters and faxes and calls and things every single day. And he still went ahead and signed it through. Now, this bill, I mean, I don't know if that's going to happen with this one, because this one's going to be up for a vote, but the governor just ignored everybody. So it was very disheartening for me. I kind of, you know, I haven't been as active in working against this particular bill, because I've been I'm so disheartened by the whole system, voting system and everything. It seems like you try, and then they still just buy their way in. You know, somehow they still buy their way in and get their way, you know. And so I don't know, but that's going on right now. And then there's also the bill in California. The Joy Camp guys were talking about it, the Monsanto, or the – we could become the first state that has to label genetically engineered foods.
Yeah.
And that would be really good.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But you know,
everybody – yeah.
You know what, though? It's still like – it's good. That's great. But at the same time, it's like they genetically modify food, but still do it too. You know what I mean? Like, they could just lie. I just feel like, I mean,
sure.
I cook. I'm really trying to get into growing my own food. And cooking and being responsible for my own food, because I honestly feel that's the only way you you can
really
take
take responsibility for what you're putting into your body. It's true. I mean, we don't have a lot of space here in our apartment, but I mean, we have a little garden outside our balcony. And I grow cilantro, and I grow thyme, and I grow, you know, I grow a few herbs. We have a few citrus trees. You don't like strawberries, but we have a strawberry bush and a mint bush. I'll go out there and just, like, take a piece of mint off the tree and just eat it. Just to, like, I don't know, just to have fresh breath. And then And they flower, and they're really pretty, and it's just nice to have them. I think anyone, if you have any kind of space at all, just try and grow a little something, and,
yeah.
and you know, just cut.
Mint, some something, you know, and then...
Yeah, it's so these little herb plants are like a dollar. You can go to the gardening store and buy them for like a dollar. And while you're there, you know, put little notes on the Ready Roundup. Tell people it's Agent Orange. It's not Agent Orange, but it's from the creators of Agent Orange, Monsanto, and that it causes birth defects. Yeah, so that's what I like to do. I like to take a little post-it and go, "This causes birth defects." Remember the one I did? I did a like really demented-looking skeleton. Well, it wasn't even demented-looking. It just looked deformed.
It looked like a baby, like skeleton. Like,
yeah, but you got to do that, right?
Yeah.
I'm a terrible artist, but I'm still going to draw a little skeleton just to give the effect that this is going to kill you.
Yeah.
Ready Roundup will kill you. It's disgusting. Monsanto should be all arrested, indefinitely detained in Guantanamo Bay, and then waterboarded. Anybody who works there.
I know.
But they're terrible. I mean, they're murderers. They've killed, you know, people. I mean, really, for real, you know.
There's a documentary. I want to say it's The World According to Monsanto. There are a few of them out there. Don't quote me on that because I'm not sure. I think it's The World According to Monsanto. But you can look at probably, if anybody wants to look it up, they can just look up Monsanto documentaries. You can go to truththeory.org. They have tons of documentaries. You can type it on Monsanto. But I know in India, you know, they're what Monsanto has been doing too, they've been making people they've been riddling people with death, you know, like messing up their land and then saying, oh, well, you know, you need to buy this, telling the farmers, you need to buy this, you need to buy this, and blah, blah, blah. And then the farmers, you know, buy their products, do what they're told to do. Then they get in debt, so much debt that they can't pay it back, you know.
Mm.
And they've been committing suicide.
Right.
They've been committing suicide by drinking Monsanto products. It could be Ready Roundup.
Ugh.
Yeah, but they've been. I know it's Monsanto products, and that's how they've been committing suicide.
That's just
horrible.
I mean, it's just horrible. I don't know how we can allow these people to continue to get away with it.
Well, that was.
I mean,
that woke me up about Obama. Really, that was like kind of like because you know people would tell me stuff about Obama, and I didn't want to believe it. You know,
right.
And that was the thing because at the same time I was doing research on Monsanto, and then at that time I had in my mind Monsanto is the most evil country, I'm saying company.
I know what you meant.
and then I'm like, well, why did he hire this guy as head of agriculture? This guy that's been an advocate for Monsanto, Tom Vilsack. Why would he do?
Yeah.
Why?
Right.
Why?
Yeah, I mean they're all over the place. They're like the whole government is just crawling with Monsanto people. I mean they're just everywhere. And so, I think we as the people, I mean we're really on to them. I don't know. They don't care. They just go in everywhere. I was reading somewhere in an article that Monsanto is now building a corporation in Vietnam. I mean, can you imagine that? So Vietnam, they're there during the Vietnamese War, and they basically destroy that country with their Agent Orange. They spread it everywhere. The veterans, the American veterans who were affected by it get some sort of compensation, barely, after, you know, like 20 years of fighting for it. But then in Vietnam, I mean, to this day, people are being born deformed. And all this, and then they go back, and they just are like, yeah, we're here, we're gonna build a building and a company, and we're gonna run Monsanto in Vietnam, the place where we basically destroyed your country. I mean, because they don't care. You know, someone put it this way: they go, why would the devil think about what he's doing? I mean, he just does it. He just does evil.
Yeah.
He doesn't think like, oh, well, I'm not gonna do this because it's evil. What the devil does.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, and these guys are just nothing but devils and they're demons. This is a demon corporation made by, you know, reptilian demons and horrible, awful Illuminati, like non-human Illuminatis or something. I don't know what they are, but they're definitely not human. Are they mutants or aliens? I mean, maybe they're mutants because maybe they're all genetically engineered. The people that work at Monsanto. Maybe Tom Vilsack is actually, maybe he's actually a reptile. You think?
I think so. I think, yeah.
I think
whatever.
It might
yeah,
be.
I don't care. I'm just saying I'll say it. I can't, like, hold it back anymore. I'm just going to.
Yeah, me too. I'm just kind of wondering. I love that Louis C.K., and then I asked Donald Rumsfeld if he was a reptile. And then he never answered. Why didn't he answer? Why didn't he just say, no, I'm not a reptile?
Yeah, that was so weird. Like, he kept, like, veering. I think the rule is if you say no, then you turn into a reptile.
I think then he
if you deny it.
Shaped right in front
yeah,
of
yeah, and it's like,
oh,
like,
okay.
Like his
yeah,
eyes
so weird.
Pop out, and it's like, you know.
Yeah. So we're pretty sure that we can confirm Donald Rumsfeld is, in fact, a reptile. I think we're pretty safe to assume that. And I think we're pretty safe to assume that anyone that works at Monsanto, especially, like, if they're really high up, are reptilians.
Yeah.
You know, I don't dislike all reptiles. We have a lot of them around where I live. We have in the places where it's too hot to hike. I don't hike.
Oh, I like lizards. Lately. Lizards are cute. Snakes are cute.
They're really cute. They run around. You know, and snakes, but there's rattlesnakes, but I never see them, but I've heard that they're everywhere. And anyway, but so I like them, they're okay, but I, you know, these reptilians that are, you know, like Donald Rumsfeld and stuff are just no good. They're just up to no good, you know. These guys work at Monsanto, these reptilians. They're all reptiles. I don't know what they are, but they're just not human. That's all I know.
Yeah.
I'm safe in assuming that. So I'm going to go on air and say that.
Hello?
Rumsfeld on. Yeah, I want to get Donald Rumsfeld on to ask him if he's a reptile.
Oh, totally. Let's do that. I'm on it right now.
Yeah, well, let's ask him. Why didn't you answer when Louis C.K. asked you? And then he said that I think he also asked Dick Cheney at one point. He was at some function, and he said, or no, he didn't ask him, but he said, I'm pretty sure he's not a reptile, but I'm pretty sure he is.
Me too.
Dick Cheney?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's a reptile.
How about Obama?
Is Obama a reptile?
Yeah.
I don't know. Obama's a sleeper, I think. I think he's a Manchurian candidate.
Oh, he's a Manchurian candidate reptile.
Could be. He could be reptilian. They should all just go back to their, you know. Go back to the mothership. That's why they hate us.
Do you think that all reptilians are bad? Because maybe we're being racist. Or reptiliest.
No, reptiliest. Yeah, probably not. There probably are some good reptiles. There's probably some, you know, maybe Mother Teresa was a reptile. Maybe she, you know, maybe some Gandhi was a reptile. And then, you know, so there's like good reptiles, reptilians, and then there's bad. And then you got your Dick Cheney's and your Donald Rumsfeld. But I don't know. I mean, it just seems that they don't care about humanity, and that's
that's why I'm just. Some of this is really anti-human agenda. It seems like they can't. It's so anti-human. Like, how can you human and, you know,
and do all these things? How can you just kill people? I mean, if you take Donald Rumsfeld for example, I mean this guy, he's also very in bed with Monsanto because then he let through the. What was it? The legal use of aspartame, which is the poison that they put in diet sodas, right? And so that was Donald Rumsfeld, Rumsfeld's disease, as they call on InfoWars. I heard them call it Rumsfeld. Well, people get sick from aspartame poisoning. They get sick from which happens. You know, people do get sick from that. They get it's kind of like a multiple sclerosis that sort of affects their brain function and. Rumsfeld put that through. You know, he's also, I think very embedded in the whole 9/11 coup. And then he acts like he doesn't even know, you know, that Building 7. He doesn't even know about it. He's like, I never heard of that. You know, and you're all, what? Huh? Weren't you like on the 9/11 commission? Like, how do you not know about that? And then, he says. Or I love that video where Cynthia McKinney is like just hitting it to him because our U.S. government, everybody, this is a true story, knowingly was giving contracts to corporations that were sex trading children. That's like just a fact. No conspiracy theory involved, just a plain old fact. So anyway, so Donald Rumsfeld, he basically admitted it, and he was like, yeah, we did that. And she's like, are we in the practice of doing that? And he's all, well, no, but it happened. So I don't know. He's a reptile, so I'm just going to put it out there.
Yes.
You know. So anyway, but I think we're about out of time here. We're going to go ahead and wrap up our show, and we hope that you enjoyed us just kind of catching up and talking and doing what we do. So anyway, as always, with peace, truth, and love.
Peace, truth, and love. Back at you.
Yeah, back at you guys.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, hello. I wanted to say that I love the conspiracy release t-shirt that you can get only online at ship.truthertease.com. I knew a conspiracy when I see one. America is run by the CIA. Yes, the CIA. That's why you have to wear a conspiracy realist t-shirt all the time to let people know that you are not stupid. Go to ship.truthertease.com. Ship.truthertease.com. Ship. Like to go shipping when you buy things at a grocery store. Truthertease.com.